Welcome, everyone, to the inaugural edition of Renegade Radio. I'm going to be your host today, Andy Lowe, and I'm joined today by my good friend and co-host, Mr. Stone Payton. Stone, how are you today?
I am doing well. Good afternoon, sir.
Fantastic. So our show today is brought to you guys by Renegade Concepts and the good people here at Business Radio X. Now, Stone, when I told you we were going to be doing a show called Renegade Radio, I remember your reaction was you were all in when I told you we were going to break a few rules in here. Is that right?
Absolutely. My wife will tell you I'm famous for saying, you know, that's a really good rule. It just doesn't apply to me. And I'm always endearing myself with my wife with that phrase.
I agree. I love that that rules don't apply to me. Of course, I'm constantly reminded that more apply than I think, but I like to think they don't. So anyway, today we're joined by a very special guest. We've got Mr. Jeffrey Plucker here in our studio today, and he's going to talk to us a little bit about internet marketing and a little bit about his organization, which is Sport of Selling. Jeff, welcome to the studio this morning.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Thank you very much. Now, Jeff, you are a relatively newbie, I guess, when it comes to the business world, right? Because you've only pitched, about 100,000 customers so far?
Yeah, I'm just getting my feet wet right now. You know, hopefully in the next couple of years, I can actually be considered experienced.
Right. Okay, well, you'll get there. Well, so far, you've worked with some pretty good organizations, not only small and medium, but as well as some Fortune 500 companies. And the biggest thing I like looking at your bio here is you talk about that what you do really translates to the business bottom line.
Yeah, it's, well, you know, as we were talking before the show started, how sports and business and everything can intertwine, and some of these lessons that you've learned from the days when you were young, when you're in high school and before, and even now if you play in these adult leagues, how they can transfer over to being a successful business person and ultimately reaching that ROI on whatever it is you're doing.
Very nice. So your book is called The Sport of Selling, The Highlight Reel, and it's Sports Strategies for Successful Selling, Functional, Practical, and Motivational. Why don't we start by just telling us a little bit about the book and how you were inspired to write it?
Well, I mean, like many people, you have a book in your head you want to write. I'm not sure if I've ever met anyone who hasn't at least thought about wanting to write something. My background is obviously lots of sports. Obviously, I have a creative writing minor. And I've always wanted to write a book. I was one of those guys that was, you know, I was publishing poetry. I was published short stories, stuff like that, but I could never put that book together. So throughout my career, as I climbed the levels from, you know, beginning sales rep up into director level, as I was training people and as I was talking to, you know, associates and sales managers and trainers, I would always be relating things to sports. And so what I would do is I would just take my BlackBerry as soon as I got done with the meeting. I'd write down how I just related tennis to closing someone. I was like, how did I come up with that? But I came up with it, and it worked. And so I wrote it down on my BlackBerry. And in October of 2009, my son was born. I was also laid off from work 2 weeks prior. And as I was sitting there holding my son, I said, you know what? You have a book here. You want to do a book. Sit your butt down and do it. And so I made it a goal. And I accomplished it. So I just took all those thoughts, which I had about 15 pages of these little blurbs, I put them into a book, and voila, Sport of Selling was born.
Very nice. Well, it's a great read, and there's some interesting things in there. One that I pulled out that I'm really interested in. You say that selling is a competition. Tell us a little more what you mean by that.
Well, there's a winner and a loser, correct? And when you play a game, there's a winner and a loser, right?
That is true.
You know, my goal as a sales rep is I want to close you. Your goal as a customer is to give me reasons not to be closed, right? Most customers don't want to buy. You know, if they're really looking for a product, they're going out actively looking for it, and then you become a clerk, not a salesperson. And so that's the whole point. My job is to obviously speak to you, overcome your objections, and close you. If I close you, I win. If I don't, you win.
So tell me a little bit about that, because as sales, you know, and I've been in sales for a long time myself, I know that objections are probably one of the most scary things that most people deal with, and everybody's trying to figure out, look, how do I deal with these, how do I get somebody past them, and how do I not shut completely down? What are some of your tips for overcoming objections?
You know, the first thing is when you're talking to a customer, you need already know what their objections are going to be. Are they going to complain about price? Are they going to complain about quality? What is it that, first off, their pain that they currently have, and what is the solution that you're going to bring to them to solve that pain? If you know those answers, overcoming the objections become a lot easier. The other thing with overcoming objections is, just like in sports, you have basic skills. You know, there's a reason why NFL teams have preseason camps, and they're doing the basics of blocking. They're doing the basics of catching a ball, the basics of throwing a ball. It's because the basics are what makes you a good team, all right, a great team. And so as you are out there, there's things like feel, felt, found. You know, it's a basic sales technique. I know how you feel. Others have felt the same way. This is what I found, right? And by using those basic techniques, you already know what they are. All you have to do is insert product. And voila, you can fall back on your basics and overcome those objections.
Very nice. Very nice. So when we think about sports, I know that when I was growing up, I never played a sport that I didn't have a coach. And when we look at professional athletes, everybody's got somebody that's guiding them, helping them get better, helping them see the things that they don't see. But yet I know that one of the things that you commented on was that it's like pulling teeth, getting people to spend money on business help. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, one of my taglines is like, you can find these business guys that are going to go out and spend, you know, $600-$700 on the newest driver, right? They're going to go out and spend $200 to play some nice golf course. You know, they'll spend gazillion dollars on this. You ask them to spend $200 to attend a half-day seminar, and it's like pulling teeth. And you're like, okay, don't you get it? When you go to the practice range and you spend that $5 to $10 on the bucket of balls, you're trying to become a better golfer, correct? So why is it like pulling teeth to get you to spend $50, $100, $200 to go to some seminar or to buy a book and to read it? And, you know, why is that? Because all you're going to do is improve yourself. And guess what? In the business world, it doesn't matter if you're a business owner, a sales rep, a customer service rep. If you are better than what you were the day before, you will make more money, period. And so why not? Why not spend some money on yourself to become better at your profession?
Makes a lot of sense to me. Probably one of the reasons that I don't own a good set of golf clubs. So you talked about having these seminars and these training things that you do. So tell us a little bit about that, because you offer a few different ways that you work with clients. Tell us about the different ways that somebody could get engaged with you.
Starting off by the book. You know, it's a very easy read. It's got a lot of action items in it. When I was writing it, I actually got 80 pages in, and I was like, I was still first chapter, and I was like, hold on a second. You know, why don't people, when I talk to them and I recommend all these books, and I come back and I ask them a couple weeks later, did you read them? Oh, well, you know, I bought it and I started that first chapter. Why is that always happening? It's because you've got 200-page books that you get two or three items out of it and you get bored. And sales reps, naturally, business owners, we're people that want to keep moving, right? We don't want to sit still and read that almost like novel type of book. So when I wrote this book, I made it very easy to read. It's got quotes, it's got action items, it doesn't take you can grab a concept and be done with it, and you can come back and read it again. So that's the first thing. You know, you want to reach out and get the book. Some of the other things I do is, you know, I do sales trainings for beginners. You know, I did a training with a realtor, a realty company here, and there was about 60 people in here, and I asked a simple question of how many of you realtors, how many of you have ever had a true training? And I think I had 3 people raise their hands. And I'm like, wow. And that's the way. So I do like a basic training that talks simply about the 5 steps to a sell. You know, greet a customer, qualify them, recommend, close them, and then rehash them, upsell, whatever it is, clarify the sell. And so you do some of the basic stuff there. And, of course, you can also do I do marketing help for people. I'll come in. Obviously, their websites, that's a big one nowadays. How do I actually communicate with the search engines and increase my turn my website from that expense to the revenue generation? And so those are some of the easy ways that we can step out, help your business grow.
Yeah, so that's an area that you do consultation in, is you work with companies on their internet marketing, is that right?
Well, that is correct, yeah.
So tell us a little bit about some of the things that are key and important right now when it comes to internet marketing. I know everybody has been talking about, hey, I want my website to be better, do better, get more business. What are some of the things they need to be paying attention to?
Starting off, first thing, the most important thing when it comes to ranking a website is your links. What are the links? How many of them? You know, where are they coming from? What's this anchor text? You know, what's that all about? So you need to make sure that someone, when they're looking at your website, that they're also looking at your links. And the reason why it's simple, it's your links is how you can tell Google and Yahoo and any of those other search engines how popular you are. So you personally can say whatever you want, you know, about yourself on your personal website. You know, I can say Sport of Selling is the greatest Mary Kay seller, right? I don't even sell Mary Kay, but I can say it, right?
That's
and
true.
So the spiders are those things that the search engines send out that will that crawl your websites and your web pages, and they're trying to gather the information. So they will come out and they'll crawl you, and they're trying to gather out, you know, what you're about. But when you have these links coming in from 5 people, from 10 people, from 100,000 different people, those links are saying to the search engines, wow, this guy is popular, right? So I keep saying, you know, this is high school all over again. You know, who's the most popular?
I like that.
Yeah, well, it is. Who's the most popular guys? You know, who's the most popular girls? The ones with the most people. Usually, your cheerleaders, your athletes, and stuff like that. And so that's one of the ways. One of the other things that started coming around with the internet now is validity. And so not only are you trying to be popular, but you have to validate yourself, all right? And so social media. Right. Now, social media, sure, you can get one link or two links from social media. Some people, you know, can use it to gather a couple more links. But social media is coming into play because the search engines are using social media to say, hey, if someone's tweeting about this person, if someone has a Facebook post about this person, if someone's blogging, it must mean it's a relevant website. It must mean it's a relevant business. And so while it's not necessarily helping you rank, what social media is really starting to do is eliminate competition, all right? And so as you're out there and you're thinking, is social media for me? You need to do something, all right? Because if you don't do something, then basically what you're doing is you're just kind of, you know, you're putting a little bit of an anchor on yourself because the search engines are not recognizing you and not being, you know, they're not seeing you all over the place.
So what are some of the most common mistakes you see people make when it comes to social media?
They try to go too big, and they take too much time. They do the treadmill. You know, I tell my clients, if you're going to have someone do your social media within your office, schedule it on a day like that they have something to do. So if they have to be somewhere at 6 o'clock, you tell them, okay, 3 o'clock, you start doing the social media, because I guarantee you they're going to get it done before they have to leave. But if you walk in and say, hey, 8 a.m., start with the social media, guess what? You're going to come back at lunch, and they're still doing it. And you're going to ask, what have you accomplished? Oh, well, I've been, you know, going through here, and you're going to start getting the mumbling excuses.
So getting people to be accountable to some actual results, there's a novel concept, Dave Snow.
Wow.
How's that for renegade?
So that's one of the things. One of the other things, too, is you can start using tools like a Hootsuite. You know, there's so many different things. You need to figure out what your audience is. You know, how much time do you really want to spend into this? You can easily do social media 30 minutes a week. You can easily do, you know, 40 hours a week. So you just kind of need to see how exactly important it is to your business. You know, it's everyone, you always hear these stories of I use social media to make $1 million. Well, you know, guess what, guys? Those are lottery tickets. Not, you know, if everyone was making $1 million off their social media, why are we not at the beach drinking Mai Tais? You know, and so you need to understand that. So you need to make sure that you're budgeting the correct amount of time for your particular business to that. And so using tools like a Hootsuite or any of those other social media like automation services is an excellent way to obviously just jump into that arena.
Very nice. Now, you mentioned that one of the things that's very popular now and people should be utilizing and moving towards in their business is mobile marketing.
Yes. So a little bit of the history. Last year, 2011, was the first year that over $1 billion was spent on mobile marketing. And when
wow.
we talk, yeah, it was the first. When we talk about mobile marketing, we're talking about the marketing to your cell phone or to your tablets, the mobile devices. To kind of give you some perspective, 2015, perhaps 2014, is going to be the year where it's going to be approaching $4 to $5 billion. So literally, they're thinking it's going to grow by almost what $2 billion a year over the next 2 years. But the other thing about it is around those years, it's going to be switching from the majority of platforms will now be your cell phone and your tablets instead of your laptops and your PCs. So currently still, most people do their buying and all that on the laptops and PCs, by 2014, 2015, it's going to be the exact opposite. So you really, really must start looking into the mobile marketing aspect. And you know, again, it's such a wide array of things you can do, but just think of it this way. There's two really good ways to do mobile marketing. You can look by zip code. So if your business is located in a certain address, you can actually find the people through their cell phones that are within 5 miles, okay? Something else you can do is you can actually do it, say, within 100 feet. So if they're within 100 feet, say, of a Starbucks, right, and you're a Starbucks and you want to go ahead and you want to be able to broadcast some sort of advertising just to the people that are passing that Starbucks throughout that day, you can do that. So you need to make sure that you're starting to look into that because it's going to be a major player for your business over the next coming years.
And does this type of advertising scale well for sizes of business? Because I know some advertising mediums are a little bit out of reach for some of the smaller businesses.
Well, you know, just like anything in the internet, the great thing about the internet is it's literally entry level is free. You know, you can join the game for free. And then, of course, you can go all the way up to hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars.
Which so, that's when they should call you, right?
Exactly. Okay, exactly. Perfect. When they're ready for the $1 million, call me. And then, no, when you're ready for anything, call me. As you scale, you can budget a couple $100 or you can budget, you know, $150,000. It really is dependent upon your business. And again, it comes back to the fact that what are your goals? You know, if you only have $50,000 for marketing for that year, you know, honestly, look, you never want to put your eggs in one basket, all right? And so you just need to make sure that you're looking at that. You got to look at your audience. You know, if your audience is an elderly audience, you're probably mobile marketing is probably not going to be some area that you want to go, you know, put a lot of money into. However, if your audience is the mid-20s, then guess what? I mean, mid-20 people, they're starting to live on their devices. They're the generation that's really going to be taking this to the next levels. So, again, just look at, you know, what is it? What your goals are? How much time? How much money do you want to spend?
Yeah, mobile devices have gotten pretty popular. You go to the restaurant now, you see more people with their phones and tablets out playing with those than actually having a conversation with each other.
Right, they're looking for the Scout Mob or the Groupon for the next thing. That they're, if they're eating dinner here, they're looking for the Groupon for dessert at the next deal. In business-to-business professional services, we've had several people come through the studios and talk about using the social media platform for thought leadership. But kind of in the same breath, I've heard them a little bit exasperated at the challenge of creating content. I mean, how do you feed this social media beast with content once you get him up and running?
Well, content can be personal content that you've actually created. If you're having problems creating content, you know, you can hire writers. Or you can go out and find content that's already out there. You know, you do some of these places like an eZine article, you know, where people are writing articles and they want you to pick these articles up and they want you to repost them. And when you repost them, obviously they want the link back, and that's the reason why they're doing it.
But you're still serving your community. In fact, yep. And you're not wagging your own tail. You're telling your community, hey, I just came across this interview with Plucker that Andy Lowe did. Wow, there was some really good points about mobile marketing, and then I still look good and everybody wins, right?
Exactly.
Very nice. So let me ask this. I hear a lot of people talking about SEO, internet marketing, and all the hot topics that we've discussed here today. How do you guys differentiate yourself from other people in the market that are selling the same song?
Well, you know, there's two big there's two big things that a company can do that really differs themselves. When you talk about SEO, it's, you know, that's actually more talking about the optimization. SEO stands for search engine optimization. You also hear to it sometimes as SEM, which is search engine marketing. But most people, they know, they read on the blogs, most of these little startups and all, they read on the blogs, they read on the internet, hey, you need to optimize your alt tags and your title tags and all that. When you're talking to a company and you want to know about their particular abilities, what you need to do is you need to ask them their link building strategy, and then you need to ask them about their keyword content strategy. So there's five major things that the spiders are going to look at when they're crawling your website. The first and foremost will always be your links. That's almost, on average, going to be 50 to 60% of the ballgame. And because, again, think of it this way. What differs you from your competition? All right. Everyone can put on their title tag Andy Lowe radio show host. Right. Everyone can put that. All right. So if you've got 50,000 pages that say Andy Lowe radio host, How are you going to differ? Who's going to be 50,000? Who's going to be number one? And that's where those links come into play. So number one is your links. Number two is your title tags of each individual page. Number three and number four are what's called your alt tags and your headers. And then the fifth thing is what's is your content that's actually on the page. And is your content researched properly and written properly in order to pull in what's called the long tails? And long tails are three or more words typed into Google. And to tell you the importance of long tails, think of it this way. I might Google search Andy, you know, radio host, and it might come up with 10,000 search volumes. That is usually referring to what's called the broad term. If I hit, if and I look exactly what people are doing, it might only be 50. And the reason why is when you see search volumes and a lot of these tools that you can find, what they're looking for are those three words. They're not looking for those three exact words, but they're looking for are those three words somewhere on the page. So what you need to do is how you differ is link building strategy and your keyword research content. The companies that have a good strategy on those are usually going to be your better companies.
Very nice. So if somebody wanted to find out more information about what you do and if you're a good fit to help them with their business, how would they go about getting in touch with you?
Well, you can obviously go to my website, sportofselling.com. I have contact information there where you can fill out. You can email me directly at jeff@sportofselling.com. And of course, I have my phone, which is 404-717-5727.
Great. And speaking of Sport of Selling, your book is available on your website as well. I can get a hard copy, but you also have an ebook available as well, right?
Correct. We've got it Apple, Kindle, Nook. We have it on the e-platforms. You can walk into a Barnes & Noble and ask them to order it for you. You can go to Amazon.com and get it, or you can obviously order it through my website.
I'm a big fan of the ebook, Stone, especially now that I learned you can highlight passages in your ebook. That was big for me.
Well, and I like that you can have stuff in there linked, and then you can press on the link and go to places. I got a $75 gift card for Christmas, put it with a little bit of cash I stole out of the kitchen drawer, bought the $200 Kindle Fire. And I absolutely love it. I've gone nuts with this Kindle. I love it.
I think we need to record that soundbite and send it to Kindle as an endorsement. Maybe we can maybe we can get some free merchandise out of the plug there.
Get a little more advertising money coming in.
There you go.
Let them know the power of online marketing. All right. Well, great. Well, Jeff, we really appreciate you being in the studio today. I do have another question I want to dive into. I said I was going to avoid this, but it's just staring at me. And I can't avoid it. So you mentioned on your website that you have a wife and a son, of course, that you mentioned earlier in our conversation, and two cats. Now, I would have taken you for a dog person, but seeing as how you're an Auburn grad, is that kind of how we got into the whole cat thing or what?
The cats are by marriage. So I had the greatest dog in the world, Naboo, and I had him from college, my last year of college, and unfortunately, we had to put him down. He had a tumor burst, so we put him down about a year ago. But the cats are my wife's cats. I love them to death. One of them, as I'm working on my office, always lays on my lap. So they're my wife's cats by marriage. But yes, we have two cats.
I see. As a Georgia Bulldog, I just had to take a minute to point that out.
Okay.
I thought that was a fair shot. Well, anyway, well, again, Jeff, thank you so much for being on the show today. We really enjoyed having you. I got to be honest, I think we could keep going here because you've given us so much information that we've only scratched the surface on. So maybe what we should do is have you back.
Love to
have you come back and get a little deeper into some of the internet marketing stuff. And love to have you bring somebody on, maybe a delighted client that could tell us a little bit about how some of the services.
Yeah, let's
they've
get the real story.
Let's get
the real one.
Exactly.
Okay. <No.
laughs> Let's find out how you put them through the paces, because I'd love to see how some bottom lines have transformed through some of the work that they've done with you. I think that'd be great. So, Stone, thank you very much for sitting in today and hosting this with me on this inaugural run of Renegade Radio. I think it certainly added some flair and flavor to today's show.
You're more than welcome. Beats the heck out of working, doesn't it?
I try to avoid work when I can, so this is a good alternative. And I'd like to thank all you guys out there listening to us today to this first rendition of Renegade Radio. We're committed to bringing you people who think differently about normal life. And remember that opportunity lies in the impossible, but you got to be willing to break the rules of conventional thinking. So until next time, I'm Andy Lowe with Stone Payton, the good folks here at Business Radio X, and we wish you a wonderful day and happy selling.